Well, hello, dear friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. We're glad you joined us today. Open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, and we want to continue our study to in chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to teach us as we approach His Word today. Dear Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the privilege we have to know You through Christ and to study Your Word. We pray that You would sanctify us through Your Word as Jesus prayed to the Father. Sanctify them through Your truth. Your Word is truth. Bless these moments. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. In Joshua chapter 4, we're working our way through the many wonderful details here. And we're ready for question number 8 under observation. At what point did the priests cross over the Jordan? We left off here yesterday. The priests crossed over when all the people had completely crossed over. Look at verses 10 and 11. And remember, we read the first 13 verses yesterday, and then as we go back and answer the questions, we reread verses under observation. We may do that again under interpretation. So this forces us to read the text. It is a mistake when we think, yeah, I read the Bible once, I'm done, I got it, I understand it all. No, if we read it a million times, there's still something else to gain from the Scriptures. So notice verses 10 and 11. So the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hastened and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. So at what point did the priests cross over the Jordan? When all the people had completely crossed over, they stood in the Jordan until everything was done. I like that. And the people watched the priests then join them on the other side. The spiritual leaders were there, and they were bringing up the rear, as it were, when God's people crossed over. Well, how about verses 12 and 13? Question number 9. Who is crossing the Jordan here, and why? Notice verse 12. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. So who is crossing here? Well, we have the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. These are 2.5 tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel. So there's special attention given to them here that they crossed over. And notice what it says. They crossed over armed. They were ready to do battle. Let's do a correlation here back to chapter 1. Notice verses 12 through 15, chapter 1. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as He has given you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh, they had an inheritance on the eastern side of the Jordan River, but they had an obligation to cross over and be ready to fight with their brethren. And after they had helped in the conquest, then they could return over the Jordan and enjoy the land that God had given them. So they were obedient here in chapter 4. They were obedient to Joshua's instruction and also to Moses' instruction. They had not forgotten their responsibilities. They had not forgotten their job. Well, that's good. That's encouraging to note that they had not forgotten and sinned against the Lord, against Moses, and against Joshua. Well, question number 10 is in chapter 4, verse 14, and let's note what it says here. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. The question is, what did the Lord do for Joshua, and how did the people respond? This is very significant here. The Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. That's what he did. He made him look big. He made him look important. He caused their wills to be bent toward Joshua in his leadership. He was made to appear important. He was accepted. He was believed and confirmed as a leader. They respected and feared Joshua as they had respected and feared Moses. It's amazing that God caused here a smooth transition in leadership and made the people accept Joshua. This was indeed the work of God. They were ready to obey Joshua and give allegiance to him. That's how the people responded. It says they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. This was the work of God. These people that had mumbled and grumbled and griped and complained in the wilderness for 40 years. Now another generation is ready to be obedient to Joshua as they were to Moses. And God will bless them because of that. Well, question 11 is, what did Joshua command the priest to do, and what was the result of their action? That's verses 15 through 18. So let's read those verses. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all its banks as before. So what did Joshua command the priest to do? What was the result? He commanded them to come up from the Jordan. Isn't that great? He commanded them to come up. Verse 17. Come up. Come out of the Jordan. And then what was the result after the priests came up out of the Jordan? Well, the waters returned to their flowing. Remember, they had been stacked up. They had been piled up in a great miracle of God. And the nation of Israel crossed over on dry ground. And now when the priests have come out of the Jordan, out of that dry riverbank, riverbed, to the other side, to the riverbank, now the waters have returned to their place. And notice it says, they flowed over all its banks as before. So they overflowed, they returned to their flood-like conditions, as God had done this amazing, amazing miracle. Well, another question here is verse 18, a comparison question. This is question 12 under observation. At verse 18, and it came to pass when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all its banks as before. The comparison here is to soles in chapter 4, verse 18, with soles, that's S-O-L-E-S, soles of the feet, in chapter 3, verse 13. So let's go back to chapter 3, verse 13. And here it says, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. So we have soles in two places. Here are the soles of the feet of the priests going into the Jordan, and when they did that, by faith, the waters of the Jordan would stop flowing. They would stand up as a heap, a big pile of water. That's in chapter 3, verse 13. But in chapter 4, verse 18, when the souls of the priests come to the other bank, to the dry land, then the waters of the Jordan would return to their place. Isn't that an interesting detail? The soles of the priests' feet. They stepped into the Jordan, the water stopped and piled up. And then when they finished that miracle, when God finished His miraculous work and all the children of Israel crossed over, and then the priests crossed over and they put their soles on the other river bank, on the dry land, then the waters continued to flow. It is God's power using the priest and their step of faith that accomplished great and mighty things. Well, let's look at one more question. Verse 20, it says here, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. He set up in Gilgal. So the question is, what is the location of the stone memorial? It is Gilgal, and we will see more about that as we study ahead in the book of Joshua. All right, let's go on to verses 21 through 24. What two events are related here, and what were God's purposes for the events? Verses 21 to 24. Then He spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. Notice this. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So what two events are related here? First of all, the crossing of the Jordan. Secondly, the crossing of the Red Sea. Notice that very important little word in verse 23. As, in the middle of the verse, He dried up the waters of the Jordan until you crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea. So, two waters, bodies of water, the Jordan and the Red Sea, and the children of Israel crossed both of them. And what was the purpose? What were God's purposes for these events? Note carefully, it was not just to get Israel across two bodies of water. He could have done this in various ways if it were just to do that. But notice this, it was that, verse 24, all the peoples of the earth may know. It's so that the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that they might know the power of God Almighty, the power of Yahweh of Israel. That's why these miracles happen, that the peoples of the earth, the pagan nations all around, that they may know something of the power of the God of Israel. And notice that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. Not only knowing the hand of the Lord, the presence and power of the Lord, but that it is a mighty hand. It's not weak. It can stop the flow of water in the river, in the Red Sea. It can do all of this. But notice this. Notice this detail. In verse 24, we have all the peoples of the earth. And then the last part of the verse says that you, that is you Israelites, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. I want, God says, all the people to know my hand, my power, that it's mighty. And I want you Israelites to fear the Lord. I want you to stand in reverential awe of who I am and what I can do. Well, there is such a need today as believers in Jesus Christ that we would fear the Lord, that we would stand in reverential awe of who He is, that we would know Him and respect Him and worship Him and love Him. That is exactly what is needed across our land today. The people of God need to bow before the Lord and love Him and respect Him. I have a little sheet that I handed out last Wednesday night. It's from the ministry Revive Our Hearts. And here are some prayers for America. And I want us to pray for two or three specific things here. One, it says, pray for truth in the media, Proverbs 12:22. And pray that Christians will look to God to overcome the enemies of truth and righteousness. And pray that God will work through leaders to keep the doors open for His gospel to be proclaimed. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that we can come before You today knowing that the hand of the Lord is mighty. The hand of the Lord is strong. It's powerful. And our Father, we pray that the Church of Jesus Christ in America and around the world will truly fear You, that we will stand in reverential awe and love of You, that we will worship You, that we will submit our bodies as living sacrifices to You. We pray, Lord, that You would revive Your church, that we would love You more than we love ourselves, more than we love possessions, more than we love anything else, that we would love You. And our Father, we pray for America in a special way. We know that the whole world watches what goes on here. We pray, Lord, for our media. We pray for truth in the media, that lies and falsehood would be exposed and that truth would prevail. And we pray, Lord, that in the courts of the land, from the highest court to the lowest, that Your truth, Your everlasting truth, would prevail. We pray that the fear of God would be before the eyes of judges, that they would rule in the fear of Almighty God. We pray, dear Father, that Christians will look to God to overcome the enemies of truth and righteousness. Lord, we look to You. You are our hope. You are our anchor. You are our refuge in the time of storm. And we come to You and pray that You will do a mighty work in our land to turn hearts to You, away from sin and depravity and to truth and righteousness. And Lord, we pray that You will work through our leaders to keep the doors for missions and the gospel and for Christian schools and for churches to be open. Lord, we pray that You will work through legislatures, through judges, through courts, through governors, through mayors, to keep church doors open across this land. And dear Father, we thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy right now. We ask, Lord, that the freedom of religion would continue here, that we may serve you, that we may send laborers across the world. Father, I pray that you will continue to do a mighty work during this time. We pray for the growth of the Church of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' wonderful, powerful name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, dear friend. If you're here in Brooklyn or Queens, we invite you to come tonight to East End Baptist Church for our midweek power lift. It's in person. We invite you to come. We'd love to have you there as we study, as we pray, as we share together. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. May God's light shine brightly on you.